Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
710 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Matt Barnes joins us here, longtime NBA veteran. You can check him out. All the Smoke podcast with him and Steven Jackson. It's some of the best stuff you can listen to right now. It's, you know, it's a mixture of everything, sports, culture. It's an unbelievable listen. So do yourself a favor and get on it. Matt, of course, a UCLA legend as well, joining us here. So, Matt, thanks for taking the time, man. Hope you and yours are healthy and safe. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on with this NBA restart. And the big topic of conversation this week has been the position of Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard, and Avery Bradley. Now, since then, Avery Bradley has kind of veered off a little bit and been a little more definitive in what he would like to see from the NBA and its partners. We'll get to that in a second. But just kind of what are your overall views of Kyrie and the guys on that phone call and just kind of his position in general?
I think it's unfortunate. Obviously, with 450 guys, it's going to be hard to get everyone to agree on everything. But you, at the same time, you have to respect everyone's opinion. And I think that's where I initially jumped to conclusions and kind of said some things when I was talking to Jack, like it was just me and him, forgetting that the world was watching. But my whole thing was, and like you said, Avery Bradley has kind of veered off, to sit out, just to sit out is pointless. Sit out with the plan is what's most important right now. So before, I saw what Avery Bradley said, and I think, like I said, as long as you have a plan, I'm going to support that plan. But just to sit out, and that's what Kyrie initially said, it made no sense. I feel right now that the black voice is stronger than it's ever been, and in particularly the black athlete voice is as strong as it's ever been. So right now we really have the momentum and a lot of people behind us to go out and make some change. And I think that starts with, you know, making some demands to some of these owners as far as being able to really give back to these communities and do things not just for the PR move or a one-time donation, but really do things to give back to these communities that we came from. You know, a lot of us are very passionate about the communities we came from and get back and do for them, but we can only do so much. You know what I mean? So these owners are billionaires coming to set up in the majority of these urban cities that need help desperately. And I think it's time to, you know, get a call to action for these guys to really kind of start giving back to these communities, also diversifying management. I think there's some things and some talking points that they're going to come up with. Those are just some things I just came up off the top of my head. But to go in, make these demands, and if these demands are met, then sit out. But just to sit out, I think you're missing the moment and the opportunity to possibly change the face of sports and help this country.
Matt Barnes with us here. Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more. Right? You got to have a strategy, and it's clear that Avery has a strategy because he's alluded to some of the stuff that you mentioned, which is the NBA and its partners making investments in the black community. And, you know, right, whether it's the NBA itself as a league, whether it's the individual owners to be held accountable in this situation. But not only them, Matt, like I would go a step further. The shoe companies, right? And the apparel companies. I think that this is a moment to seize beyond just the NBA. While I agree with that part of it and the NBA community being involved here, I would take it a step further and involve the apparel companies too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think everyone who is at the end of the day making money off us, because they see our contracts and everything, and there's a handful of guys making crazy, crazy money for athletes. But if they're making that much money, how much money are these owners making? How much money are these apparel companies making? So I think you hit it on the head, George. I think it's a real ask, because the league is 75% African American. So obviously without this league, there would be no NBA, you know? So I think it's time that they really stopped, you know, doing just enough to save face and realize and really be a part of this change. I feel like for the first time in 400 years, the world hears us. Unfortunately, it had to come through some looting and burning stuff down, but nothing else has worked up to this point. We've been asking for equal ground for 400 years. We've been silently protesting. We've been doing peaceful marches. We've been putting our fists in the air. Cap took a knee. None of that has worked. You know, we're finally at a point in 2020 where they hear us. So I think not only does the NBA have to plan, but the African American community, the minorities in this country have to have a plan as well, because now they're listening. Now they want to hear what we want. And to go in there blindly just continuing to do bad stuff or sit out or do stuff without a plan, I think is really counterproductive, and we're really going to be hurting our children and our grandchildren if we don't come up with a strategy right now.
Matt Barnes joining us here. Matt, you were there during the Donald Sterling situation, a very unprecedented situation, and Adam Silver took control of that situation very quickly. So you've been involved in something that caused real change very quickly when it came to the NBA. Are you confident that Adam Silver and will come to the owners and will come to the apparel companies and will kind of move this cause forward? Are you confident that will be the case?
I'm confident that he's the best commissioner for it. Now, whether these owners do it, I can't speak for these owners. You know, I can say that their silence, we've been able to hear loud and clear. But like I said, if we have someone going to bat for us as far as the commissioner, Adam Silver is the best person to do it. And then also, our president, Chris Paul. He was the president then with when Donald Sterling stuff happened. He's the president now, and he's always on it. He's someone I've been talking to, a lot the last week or so. Just trying to kind of get a gauge and bouncing ideas off each other and, you know, him kind of just telling me what's going on in the climate and their approach moving forward. So I think the situation is left in good hands. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, it would be better if we can get maybe open up the communication more so we can try to get a majority or all of the guys on the same page, because not only in basketball, but in the country, the only way we're going to move forward is if we finally do it together. We've always been, as African-Americans, we've always been our own worst enemy. We've always been divided. And I think for the first time ever, this is an opportunity for us to really, really come together and make change, not only in sports, but in the country, possibly the world.
I agree wholeheartedly. Matt, though, there is, you mentioned, and again, I this is not on the same level as you were discussing, but there is some division amongst the NBA players, not just about the restart, but even more recently, right? Like Kendrick Perkins, we all know him, we all love him, right? Like he's been very vocal, particularly about Kyrie, and maybe got a little personal about Kyrie, and you know, Kevin Durant goes on Instagram and rips him, calls him a sellout, and then Perk goes all over the top on Twitter. What do you make of just that back and forth, and how do you try to remedy that and kind of bring people more together, even within the NBA family?
Yeah, it's tough, and to be honest with you, it's not a good look. I had a chance to talk to Perk last night, and he is speaking his truth and his real opinion. You know, he heard from people close to the situation that the Kyrie situation happened the way it did. He was very pro, let's do this. And then he found out he couldn't go, and then he flipped the script. And then he wanted to not play and really, really willing to give up everything and, you know, to each his own. But how can you be so gung-ho 1 week and then the next week, you know, you're completely flipped? And Amanda allowed to change his mind, and I get that. But like I said, I would agree with Kyrie if when he said, let's not play, I'm willing to give up everything, if he had a plan after that. You know, because like I said, we all know that guys dribbling the ball and putting the ball in the hoop is not going to change our current climate. But I think the message they can send every second they get a chance to, while the whole world's eyes are on them, and getting these partners in the league and these owners to make a difference in the cities, can make a difference. But actual just playing basketball is not going to change everything. It's going to ease people's minds. And, you know, Lord knows we need that right now. But as far as direct change, you know, wearing T-shirts and all the stuff that we've done in the past hasn't moved the needle at all.
Matt, what did you make of the stuff that Kyrie said about starting his own league? Like, what did you make of that?
Well, see, I heard that he didn't say that. So I don't know if he did say that. But now more than ever is the time for that kind of thought, outside the box thinking. But when you think about the logistics, it's pretty not impossible, but it's up there in the 90 percentile as far as not being possible at this point. You know, if you want to have basketball played in the next year or two, you know, the NBA is over 100 years old, and it's taken so long to get to where it's at now. So to completely destroy that and start something new for us, by us, like I said, I love the outside the box thinking, but the realistic, realistically of that happening, I just don't see it happening. Like I said, I like the fact that was the plan. If that's the plan, if you're on that, you can find enough people to get involved, I'm all for a plan. I'm just not for trying to mess up a movement without a plan.
Right. Totally get it. Matt Barnes with us here, UCLA. Great. Of course, longtime NBA veteran, NBA champion. Check out the podcast, All the Smoke, with him and Steven Jackson. It's phenomenal. Let me ask you this, Matt. If you were returning, if you were a player right now, what would be your biggest concern? What are things that would concern you about the bubble? And it could be something as important as safety or even something that it may not be on people's radars right now.
To be honest with you, I would trust that the NBA has done everything it possibly can to have me safe if I was still playing to go out there. So to be honest with you, COVID wouldn't, you know, range on my mind as heavy as some might think. I think the biggest thing on my mind and where I would make sure I was front and center and involved in would be moving forward with this Black Lives Matter and asking for a change from the owners and our partners. That would be the number one pressing issue to me. But outside of that, if you think about it, obviously, you know, being away from your family for that long is going to be tough. But I think it would be like a cool AAU situation. You know what I mean? You got all the best players in the world in one little area. You know, you're going to have a lot of camaraderie. There's things to do to stay busy. I would be excited at the opportunity. I mean, I'd probably be golfing every day. There's a lot of stuff for these guys to do to just kind of clear their mind. They've created a fun atmosphere, thinking outside the box to be able to even try to bring the NBA back, which I give, you know, whoever came up with everything, Adam Silver, his team, the Players Association, Chris Paul. I love their thinking. But like I said, I think my most pressing issue wouldn't necessarily be my concern about the bubble or COVID. My most pressing issue would be let's try to strike while the iron is hot with these owners.
Matt, couple quick ones for you before we let you go. And thank you again for all your time. There's a lot of questions, and I don't think anyone has the answers to this, so we're all guessing here, right? But when it comes to the actual restart, I think the NBA's done a good job to try to level the playing field, right? Teams will have their training camps at their home facility. Then they'll get to Orlando, you know, 20-some-odd days before the start of games, do another training camp there, even some exhibition games, kind of get guys ramped up. But do you believe that the stoppage maybe favors certain teams or certain kinds of players more than others? Like, do young guys have an advantage in this situation over older players? Like, do you have any idea about that or any feelings about that?
I just want to say the world is in trouble because LeBron's legs have been resting for 4 months. We've never seen a well-rested LeBron. LeBron is always, from the day he's gotten the league, carried his team as far as they've gone, whether that be, you know, playoffs, you know, Eastern finals, but he's always had to do all the heavy lifting, you know. So for him to have this long off, you know, for Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, has been nagging injuries, all these big-time players that are carrying their team, we're never going to have seen them this fresh in a playoff or championship situation. But with that said, it's not as easy for older players to get their engine started again. You know, we cut basketball off, was it March 11th maybe, right when basketball was real. This was the funnest time to watch basketball. Post-All-Star, guys are getting their chemistry down, their rhythm down, everyone's coming back from injury, we're getting, you know, we're ready to head into the playoffs. So to stop basketball then for nearly 4 months and now get it going again, I just hope that, you know, everyone's able to stay healthy and that they're provided absolutely every amenity they can for their bodies, because this is going to be a fun run. I'm speaking because I hope it does happen, you know, giving these guys, you know, possibly two training camps, like you said, exhibition games, and giving them eight regular season games going into the playoffs. Hopefully their bodies will be able to adjust that fast, because it's crazy. You got to think, you got to get back in season shape, but then a month and a half after that, you got to be in playoff shape, which is, you know, we're habits of, you know, we're creatures of habit, especially if you're an NBA player. You know that it's a dead period around, you know, right after Christmas is a dead period, you know, that right after, you know, going into All-Star, guys are kind of know what they're on. And then you know that post-All-Star going into March is when you really turn your engine on. You know, so to have that all stopped and have to start over in the summer, it's gonna be a lot. But I'm hoping these players can handle all that, and I'm just hoping they're going to be able to acclimate with their bodies fast enough so that we can avoid injury as much as possible.
Matt, let me ask you this, because this story came up a while back, and I haven't talked to you in a while, so I wanted to ask you. I saw the story that you still haven't gotten your Golden State Warriors ring, or that you don't want it. Maybe I'm wrong the way I interpreted that story, but what is the story behind that?
So what happened, well, yeah, the story got flipped upside down, and it came up on the podcast because another, I don't even know who was talking about it. I think T-Mac was talking about earning a ring or whatever, and I told him I was on the same page. I feel like, you know, through my career, I took millions upon millions less to play on better teams to win. And I felt like every team I played on, I contributed to, whether I was a starter or sixth man, first man off the bench, I was always in the mix. And going into this situation in Golden State, my last season, it was no different. You know, KD happened to go down. I was leaving Sacramento. I went right in. My first game, I played 25 minutes, and I was consistent within their rotation. But oddly enough, a week before the playoffs start, the first game KD comes back, I have the worst ankle sprain of my career. Like, nearly break my ankle. My ankle never swelled. It blew up like a bubble. Couldn't move. Wasn't healthy until going into the Western Conference Finals. And then, you know, being a veteran, I know that playoffs is all about rotations and chemistry and what's working right now you go with. So I've been out of the loop and, you know, kind of played sparingly and in weird situations, you know, because Steve Kerr was out, so Mike Brown was coaching. So never really feel like I got, you know, a chance to really contribute in the playoffs with that sweat equity and out there grinding with those guys. So I was a part of the team. I just didn't feel like I earned that ring. So I got a the ceremony. They had a ceremony for myself, my twins. I got the twins a ring as well. It was at a game. So after I got the ring, I had it locked up in a room because I didn't want to carry the big box around the whole time. And when I was ready to leave, they couldn't find the key. So I just hadn't got back around.
Getting.
So it wasn't like I didn't want it or I didn't accept it. I just hadn't got a chance. And now Raymond Ritter, who's the head PR guy over there, or his title might be more than that now, but he's a good friend of mine, and he just has the ring locked up in his office. And he said, as soon as I get, you know, around to come into the new arena, I can grab it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Heard all kinds of things that I didn't want the ring. I didn't accept the ring. None of that was true. I just didn't. It was locked in a room when I left, and I just haven't been back since.
Okay, gotcha. That clears it up. That makes all the sense in the world. Thank you so much for clearing that up. All right, a couple quick ones on the way out. Rapid fire style stuff we've just been debating all week. This is all food based. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Best fast food fries are?
McDonald's.
Okay. See, thank you for saying that because we've been trying to argue with people. People trying to say In-N-Out still. Just because In-N-Out's fries are fresh doesn't mean they're good.
In-N-Out tastes like sidewalk chalk to me. Reminds me of being a little eating chalk.
Thank you. You know what's up. Okay. So the next thing, are you a mayo guy?
Yes. Not
really.
Not heavy, but yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And are donuts overrated?
No, I love donuts. I wish I hated them. That's how much I love them.
There he is. Matt Barnes. Check out the podcast, All the Smoke, him and Steven Jackson. If you're not listening to it, you're doing yourself a disservice. It is one of the best things out there right now from an audio perspective. Make sure you listen to it. Check it out. They're doing a great job together. Matt, thanks for always taking the time, man. Appreciate you. Stay healthy. Stay safe. You and yours, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, George. Good to hear from you. Same to you and your family.
All right, man. Be good. There he is. Matt Barnes with us here.